Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth with your host, Diane Helbig. Diane is a leading small business development and leadership coach, author, and speaker who is passionate about sharing valuable ideas, tips, and techniques with business professionals worldwide. Diane brings you the world's experts and gurus in all things business, whether it's sales, structure, social media, planning, or plateauing, guests bring their expertise and energy to each episode. When growing your business is your focus, Accelerate Your Business Growth is the show to listen to. Got a topic or guest suggestion? Let Diane know. The goal is to make sure you have the information you need to move your business forward. Thanks for joining us. Settle in and enjoy.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Today's podcast is sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/businessgrowth. Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast continues to gain recognition as a great resource for small businesses, entrepreneurs, sales professionals, from MSNBC's Your Business to Inc.com to Fit Small Business and a whole host of other sites. We are enjoying inclusion on lists of the best podcasts to listen to. This is really because of the incredible guests who join me. They give of their time and their expertise so that all of you can get the information you need to be able to do better things in your business. Today's no exception. Today, my guest is Brent McClure. In 2010, Brent opened McClure Consulting, a firm focusing on CPA services, business strategy, and virtual CFO services. A results-oriented senior executive and consultant with more than 20 years of success, Brent crosses many business verticals. He brings clarity and perspective to clients. His vast knowledge across a multitude of industries and expansive toolbox can help any business achieve new potential. Brent, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. Thank you so much for having me, Diane.
Oh, I am thrilled. I have to tell you that I especially love that you bring clarity and perspective to your clients, because those are two of my favorite things.
Very good.
Yes, we definitely think alike. And I love this whole concept of virtual CFO. I think it's so incredibly valuable for small business, and I don't think they even get the whole idea of CFOs. I think they think they're too small and whatnot. So I'm thrilled to have this conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm wondering if you would start by explaining what a virtual CFO is.
Yeah, that's actually a good question. I get that question quite often. Just like you said, a lot of small or mid-sized business owners maybe think they're too small or don't understand the concept altogether. But a CFO to begin with is chief financial officer. You've probably heard of those in major corporations, but actually mid-sized businesses and even some small businesses have those CFO or CFO roles as well. A virtual CFO, sometimes we call it outsourced CFO. I've heard people call it a CFO for hire. Basically has all the skills, leadership, training of a full-time CFO, but the difference is he or she is part-time or a part-time financial expert providing the right amount of guidance at definitely an affordable cost. And in this relationship, you're effectively renting or leasing their expertise. And the virtual piece of the virtual CFO in the equation means that the work is performed virtually, including phone calls, emails, Skype, or Hangouts, or Zoom. We can use all those tools to meet virtually. And this allows you to get the support you need immediately while continuing to grow the business to a point where you can bring in, say, an in-house CFO or a more robust set of financial resources. And it's a much cheaper option than spending the vast amount of money it takes to hire a full-time CFO. Then you can continue to deploy capital and cash flow to sales activities that grow the top line and have a benefit of the expert working with you to validate your thinking and hopefully execute your strategy or come up with new strategy.
Okay. So I would imagine that there are people thinking, oh, okay, but I have all of my financials at my place of business and I'm, you know, consistently on a day-to-day basis having receipts and invoices and, you know, on and on. So I get the whole being able to use Zoom and all of that, but really, how is it possible to do this virtually?
Yes, very good question. And today's technology allows us to do this virtually. Most accounting software in today's world is in or can be in the cloud, like QuickBooks Online. Think about that. And SAP has online version. If you're a little bit larger than QuickBooks, many specialized industry software or accounting software is hosted in the cloud, or is a SaaS version, software as a service version out there. So the virtual CFO can have access to your books through that way and review the financial statements or even help produce the financial statements from the virtual connection.
Okay. So really any of these businesses, if they have been doing everything, if they're new or really small or I don't know, maybe they got into business well before all this online stuff and they're doing stuff with paper, they can still get set up online so that they can get this kind of help.
Absolutely.
Huh. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Very interesting. Okay. So does a virtual CFO or does a CFO, forget the virtual for a second, does a CFO focus more on the past or on the future?
Very good question. So normally a CFO would be focused on both, but in today's time, they're shifting their focus more to the future. It's normally the accountant or the bookkeeper that you have on staff that produces the information that you can distill into various financial reports that sort of tell you what happened. And that's going to be in your accounting software. You have the bookkeeper inputting checks and inputting receipts and inputting invoices, and out of there you can develop financial statements. So don't get me wrong, that's very valuable information and something the CFO should look into very closely. But I'm using the past results to help frame the future outlook for the company or business. And the historical view of the business gives me the insight necessary to make the right recommendations going into the future. There's a saying, I think it goes like, you have to know where you've been to know where you're going.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. So it's using the past results or the historical results to help not predict, I don't want to use that word, but to understand what the future could hold for the business.
Okay. So this is one of the ways that a CFO really plays a role in business strategy, right?
Exactly. In helping develop strategy and in executing strategy Actually, the role of a CFO in any organization is to help grow the business. And that's essentially done by allocating resources or capital or cash to where it's going to generate the highest return on investment. If you think about it, I mean, if you're in business, you're basically, they say it takes money to make money. I mean, you're deploying capital and resources and investments into the market or into inventory or into products, if you're a retailer, in order to turn a profit. And so CFOs are experts at helping companies quantify the economic impact of things like customer profitability or product profitability, internal operations, and things such as that, so that the scarce capital that you do have can be put to its best use. And so from a strategic standpoint, what does your business need to do, you know, moving into next year, the next 3 years, the next 5 years? Do you open that extra location or do you not? Which products do you sell? Which products have the greatest return on investment? Which services do you offer? Where do you offer your services? All of that bakes into business strategy.
I think that's great. And part of what I'm hearing is when you have a CFO and that's their focus, that's what they're paying attention to, you're that the owner always needs, you know, trust but verify. But
sure.
They it gives them the opportunity to have someone else providing them with information. They don't have to be the one who's gathering it and doing all of the analytics and trying to figure it all out. They've got this person who's got the knowledge and the education to be able to say, okay, listen, if you do this, here's what's going to happen. If you do that, that's going to happen.
Absolutely. And a lot of small business owners, they're going using their gut or they're using intuition, right?
They
think about it as, well, if I'm doing X amount of sales on this side of town, maybe I should open up on the other side of town too, just as an example. But the CFO can tell you, you know, can project what that will cost, what that will do to the current operation, what a second location looks like as far as cash flow, how long will it take to get operating. I mean, all of these things are in a CFO's wheelhouse, whereas the owner operator A doesn't have time to pull this information together, and B probably doesn't know what to do with it if they had it.
Right. So they'd spend all that time poring over numbers. They'd end up still going with their gut, which could be right or wrong.
Could be right or wrong. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Wow. That's really interesting. Okay. So if someone says, okay, this is something that I want to do, what is the first step that the CFO normally, you know, implements in order to gather an understanding of the business?
Yeah. Okay. Good question. So essentially, where do we start?
Yeah.
Well, since a virtual CFO or CFO in general comes with experience, and the virtual CFO part, they're going to operate on a contract. So contract basis. So he or she can be onboarded rather quickly. And I would say the first step is really a two-part step. First is a review of the latest financial statements so that we get an understanding of the business, what the balance sheet looks like, the income statement looks like, the cash flow looks like. That gives us sort of a basis from a financial perspective. And then the second part is a detailed conversation with the business owner or the CEO or whoever's in charge. And that conversation is, you know, it could be an hour long, it could be 30 minutes long, it could be 2 hours if it takes that long, but it's a conversation that dives into the business operations. It's getting an understanding of what has been tried in the past, what worked, what didn't work, what are they looking at right now. Also diving into what makes the perfect customer, coupled with how customers determine value. Is it quality or maybe it's cost? Or perhaps customer value is actually based on customer service. So how do their customers determine customer value so we can actually drive that home. And then looking at the sales team, if they have a sales team, how are they functioning? Meaning commissions, territories, customer interactions, what's the sales force tenure? And then the current operations come into play. I'm meaning, do they already have multiple locations? What's the total number of employees? Is your business cyclical? What do you see as challenges? What are short-term? What are long-term challenges? Is there a line of credit for financing the operations? Tell me about the management team. So I want to better understand each individual, sort of their everyday role of the management team, sort of their everyday role, and so on. I want to understand the structure of the business. Is it a flat organization, whereas you focus more on teams and everyone's on a team and they sort of work in a team environment? Or is it more entrepreneurial, where it's sort of the top-down approach, where there's one CEO or one owner and they make all the decisions and push them down? And so if I can get those questions answered or open up a dialogue with those type questions, then in a couple of hours, I have a very, very solid understanding of the business, the challenges, the finances, and then I can start poring over the results and financial results and then making recommendations, or depending on what the conversation uncovered, as to where we want to go or not want to go. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes a lot of sense. It's very comprehensive, and I can see by the kinds of things that you are uncovering, the things that you want to look at, it really does give you an idea of who they are. Mm-hmm. And who their clients are and whether you can work with them, I would think.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah. Huh. Really interesting. All right, I'm going to take a quick sponsor break and then I have some more questions for you. Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our link, which is audibletrial.com/businessgrowth, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service. Some examples of books you can listen to on audible.com are Transform Your Company by Alex Vorobieff and The Irresistible Consultant's Guide to Winning Clients by David A. Fields. So visit audibletrial.com/businessgrowth, explore the books that are of interest to you, and receive one free audiobook when you sign up for the trial. Today we're speaking with Brent McClure about the role of the CFO in your business. So let's flip it around. You know, we talked about what the information that you would need and want to get from a potential client so that you had an idea of where they were. What are some of the questions or concerns that you hear from business owners?
Okay. So probably the largest one is, how do I make more money? How can you help me make more money?
Yeah.
Some of the questions revolve around financial reporting. What reports should I be looking at? I don't understand the reports at all. Maybe even I think the reports are wrong. You know, I hear a statement I've heard a few times, and there's no way we lost that much money. when normally there is a way, and most of the time you did lose that much money. You just don't have an understanding of the financial statements and keeping up with the trends of the business. You know, how can they use financial reporting to make strategic decisions? Or, you know, what does it all mean, and how can they best use the information, assuming they can get this information? Those are some of the questions probably the biggest one, like I mentioned earlier, was how do I make more money?
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and do you find that most business owners do forecasting, or do you find that most don't?
Most business owners don't. So in the sort of small to mid-sized business realm, I find that mostly they don't do a forecast. They don't forecast earnings. They don't even forecast cash flow, which is a big pet peeve of mine. One of the things I offer, you know, pretty quickly is the look at a 13-week cash flow. Why it's 13 weeks, I'm not sure, but I use a 13-week cash flow, and that predicts the cash flow for the upcoming 13 weeks. So it looks at last week plus the upcoming 13 weeks and predicts cash flow. And that really isolates problems. It also helps determine when they can spend money on, maybe it's an acquisition or more assets or new equipment, or maybe they have a big retail order. It helps understand what the weekly cash flow is. And that is a great forecast tool for business owners. Traditionally, I mean, I know business owners look at how much money do I have in the bank, or how much money do I think I'm going to get this week. But this tool takes it out, you know, even further than this week or next week. And it goes out, you know, a couple of months and really drills into problems or highlights problems or issues you may have around the corner that maybe they don't see right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are some of those indicators that you help them track? So,
sure.
So we have cash flow, but what else is there?
So I call them KPIs or key performance indicators that I like. I have a handful that I like to track that really show you quickly how your business is doing or how healthy your business is. So I'm going to track a liquidity risk. So are you running out of money? And I'm going to look at a current ratio or a quick ratio. And the current ratio is just current assets over current liabilities. So that's pretty easy to track from the balance sheet. And that tells me that sort of the health of the company from a current standpoint. Next up, I would want to look at leverage risk, the risk of having, you know, of being overly leveraged. But I could do that by looking at a debt to equity or a debt to asset ratio. And that would provide a snapshot into the amount of debt used in the business. And then lastly, of course, I'm going to track profitability. And I could do that by looking at a return on equity or return on assets, whatever makes the most sense for that particular business. And the ratio by itself, just one ratio by itself, doesn't mean a whole lot. But if you track them over time, you know, or internally benchmark them, so you have these same ratios tracked over, say, the last 12 months, then you can see the trend or the flow. If these ratios are going, some of these ratios are going down, then maybe you need to dig a little deeper to understand why, you know, or you can compare them to an industry average, so you understand how your company is performing based on an industry average. So like if you're a roofer with $1 million in sales, you can go out and fetch the industry average for companies of that size in that business. And that kind of gives you some peace or frightens you a little bit, depending on how you stack up to the industry average.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people are doing that kind
not
of thing.
Many.
Yeah.
Not many.
Yeah. I wouldn't think.
Yeah. Larger.
That's another reason why CFOs are important.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, larger companies that have CFOs, they're doing this.
Right.
I know they're tracking KPIs and industry averages where they can get them. And like you said, this makes it that much more important, because if you look at, I mean, business owners can kind of feel, hey, business is slowing down a little bit, but to be able to point to it, like last month was tremendously worse than the prior month, than the prior month, than the prior month. And you can point to that with facts and then project the future of what the future looks like the next 12 months and see where the ratios fall or where they're trending. Gives you a ton of insight into what decisions to be made from a strategic standpoint.
Right. And do you, so it sounds like for a lot of business owners, a downturn catches them by surprise.
It does.
Wow. Ugh.
Yeah.
And then, exactly. Yeah. So then they're in reactive mode instead of being able to be prepared for it.
Exactly. Always reactive.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Wow. So it leads me to a question about pipeline. Do they track their pipeline?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Most business owners don't. And so if you think about a sales pipeline or a, you know, your typical annual sales and broken down by month, if you're a seasonal business, like a retailer, or if you're a service business and you have a sales force, they need some way to track leads, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, in the online world, we have sales funnels and they're a way to track those leads. And the same thing applies not online. And the sales force can track leads and put a weight on the lead. Like, this is a really hot lead. I think we're going to win this work if they're bidding the work. Or this is super cold and there's no chance we're going to get this work. And that's a 0% chance. And the other one might be a 70% chance. And that way, not only can you keep your pipeline full, you can know when it starts to get empty, right? And then that goes into your projections for the next 12 months. Your pipeline feeds those projections. And so you know sort of today where what it looks like over the next 12 months. And then that can allow you to make strategic decisions. If you're on fire and your pipeline is bursting, then maybe you need more employees coming around the corner. So you need to plan for spending on more employees, and maybe you need more employees before you get the work, or maybe it's after you get the work. So those are all strategic decisions that you can gather from looking at things like a pipeline that would feed into a next 12 months type of projection.
Yeah. I get it. It's interesting. I'm always curious about, you know, why business owners don't. And I think there are so many reasons, but the value of doing it is so great when you're trying to grow and, you know, be able to cover everything. It's interesting.
Yeah. It's such a great value tool. And I think business owners constantly operate just a little bit over their head. And they have so much on their plate, they just can't focus on everything. And that's one of the things that gets dropped.
Right. It's sort of a leap of faith sort of thing instead of something strategic. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Wow. Okay, so some business owners, I would say probably many business owners, at some point want to be able to exit their business. And I find that can either mean that they just close up shop or they turn it over to employees or to a family member or something. But how do you, you know, how does a CFO talk with the business owner about an exit plan, or, you know, work with them to make sure that there's something in place?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a major component of the CFO's job, is to help the owner or the business on the next steps. And so exit planning, or maybe more appropriately titled succession planning, we hear that term thrown around a lot, succession planning. And honestly, it's not a topic that many business owners address And certainly they don't address it soon enough. Normally they wait until it's almost too late and they're like, okay, today I'm ready to sell the business. Let's get rid of it in 30 days. Yeah. And so I think many business leaders think that this exit planning is only for most prestigious companies or the larger corporations, because it seems succession planning sounds like a big word, and it seems complex and maybe not applicable to a smaller business, when in actuality, this type planning is it can be as simple as keeping the talent pipeline full so that new leaders can replace the older leaders or owners when they're ready to sell or retire. I mean, it could be as simple as that. Just make sure you have someone that can step into your role. And if that's the case, then you would want to sell the business to them, or you could sell the business to them.
Right.
And kind of depending on the structure, would depend on the talent pool makeup. And that sort of determines, structure, like, is it entrepreneurial kind of owner operator business, or is it,
right.
does it have a lot of levels? That determines who you can sell the business to, or who you should approach first. If you have a strong management team in place that can easily run the business without you, then maybe you want to just sell it to them, right? Or maybe you want to do an ESOP plan, employee stock ownership plan, and slowly exit the business. Or maybe you sell it to a private equity fund that's interested in your business type. If you're just an entrepreneurial owner operator and no one's in place to take over, then you're sort of forced into looking for an operations focused buyer, right? So you're looking for someone who's going to buy it and run it at the same time.
Right.
And not that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that's an option. And so all of those layers go into exit planning. And it's sometimes a difficult conversation to have with an entrepreneur, because normally the business is their life and they have been doing it for 30 years or 40 years and it's all they know, and they're afraid of the next step or make sure they get the full value of the business. So all of that goes into exit planning.
Yeah, I think it is highly emotionally charged.
Yeah, absolutely.
Topic. Yeah. Of course, I think anything, because you're right, it's their baby. And so anything around their business is probably going to be emotionally charged.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. This is such great information. And I have to tell you, so one of the things that I really appreciated about it is that it really clearly explains how a small business can use the services of a CFO and not have to have them there full time, but really get the value of having someone who has that experience and that objective viewpoint, helping with some guidance. So the owner doesn't have to try and know everything, but can be sure they're making decisions that are going to be good for the business.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Will you tell the listeners, how they can find you and what you've got going on, please?
Sure. I'm on the web at brentmcclure.com. I'm also on most of the social media platforms at LBMCPA. And that should link the listeners up to me. If they have any questions or comments or want to open a discussion, I'm happy to respond.
That's terrific. I really appreciate this so much. Thank you so much for explaining all of this and taking this time with me and with the listeners. I also like to thank the listeners, because they're who we're doing this for, as well as our sponsor. Please remember to visit our sponsor to get your free trial and a free audiobook. You actually want to go to audibletrial.com/businessgrowth. To sign up for that. As always, continue to prosper and be curious, and gather the resources that you need in your business so you can continue to be successful. And until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.